Well, let's open on our Bibles this morning to the book of Acts, chapter number 12.
Hasn't been that long that we were in this chapter in the Sunday school hour as we're going through the book of Acts. But at that time that we did, I warned you that God had given me a message that I was going to preach here before I left. And today's that day, so go figure. Acts chapter 12, as you find your place there, we ask that you stand in respect to the Word of God. We're going to read the first 10 verses. Acts chapter 12, beginning with verse number 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him. And he wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he had seen a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture as we now spend just a few moments in it this morning. We ask that you would bless us. May your Holy Spirit have free reign in our hearts, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As we jump into the history recorded for us of the first century church here in Jerusalem, we find a time where they're going through some persecution. Now, there wasn't a whole lot of time that they weren't going through persecution, but it got a little bit stiffer than it had been. We see that Herod decided it would be a good idea to take their senior pastor and put him to death. That would be referred to in verse number 2, James, the brother of John. And so he's dead, and what's the church to do? But nevertheless, as a result of that, the response of the Jews toward the death of this despised Christian leader, Herod thought, this is really cool. I like what's going on here. And so I'm going to take the next guy who's very influential, and I'm going to kill him too. And the Jews will love me, and they'll do whatever I tell them to do. If you remember back in Sunday school, we saw that one of the criteria for being successful as a Roman leader over the Jews was just simply to keep the peace. They didn't try to accomplish a whole lot more than that. The Jews were known as a rebellious people. And the reason was is that the Roman emperor, the Caesar, demanded to be worshipped as a god. And of course, the Jews refused to worship any other god but the Lord Jehovah. And so that was a real problem point. Wherever the Jews existed in the Roman area, which was basically the entire world at this time, and so Herod was there trying to keep the peace, trying to keep the Jews in line, trying to keep everything running smoothly so that he could gain a name for himself and then perhaps go to some more important area in the Roman Empire. And so when he kills James and he sees that it pleases the Jews, he thought he's onto a good thing here. He thinks this is a really good idea, and so he grabs Peter. But when he grabbed Peter, it was a time of holidays. In verse number 3, you see it's a time of unleavened bread for the Jews, but you also see at the end of the next verse that in the pagan system or the Roman system, it was a time of Easter. Now, we have adopted that term in our Western culture as the day that Jesus rose from the dead, and Of course, we know it has nothing to do with that. Easter is just the English way of saying Ishtar, which was a Babylonian goddess that was worshipped. And so it was a pagan feast, and all of it was around the same time. And that's where the Easter bunnies actually come from, is the feast of Ishtar, because she was the goddess of fertility. And the rabbits then would symbolize that in the eggs, the new life that was taking place. But anyway, all this was taking place, and because of that, the system, the government and the economy, everything would come to a standstill for a short time for the celebrations, much like we have around the days around Christmas. But he figured as soon as these days are done, we can get down to business again. And Peter will lose his head. Well, God is, of course, aware of everything happening, and he has a purpose and a reason for all things. And so the very night that Peter is about to be beheaded, the next morning he would be taken off by those soldiers, four quaternions. Now, a quaternion is four sets of four that would watch him around the clock. He'd be chained to two, one on each wrist, and there would be two outside the door, and that's all referred to there in verse number four, verse number six. It's referred to there. But in the midst of this, on that last night that Peter expected to be alive, God sends the angel. Now, why did God send the angel? And I think this is something that we need to understand. God sent the angel because there was a church having an all-night prayer meeting. It was a church that thought prayer was pretty important. It was a church that realized that God listened to prayer. So often today in our prayer meetings, our Wednesday night meetings, we don't even want to call them prayer meeting anymore, because if we do, people won't show up because they're afraid that they'll have to actually pray. And they don't want to have to do that because they find that embarrassing, because they're not used to doing it on their own. So they certainly don't want to do it in front of people and so that other people can hear. And so churches today, because of the lack of interest in prayer, are canceling their midweek prayer meeting. And that's unfortunate, because it's the church that loses out when they do that. But this is a church that still believed that God heard and that God answered prayer, and that God would do miracles in response to a group of God's people that get together and begin to pray. And they understood it doesn't take a great multitude. They understood that where two or three are gathered together, there is He, there's Christ in the midst. And so they're in the background praying while all of this is going on. Throughout the night, an all-night prayer meeting. I've never been at a church that's called an all-night prayer meeting, because they realize people won't show up. So why bother? Isn't that an unfortunate state of affairs in the churches today, that we won't even do that? But nevertheless, that's what's happening. And so God, in response to their prayers, sends this angel. And we find this in verse number 7. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up. In other words, he woke him up. Peter's sleeping so soundly that the light doesn't wake him up. I don't know about you, but I could sleep through a lot of noise. The one thing I can't sleep through is light. And so I have to make sure, if I'm using my phone as a clock, I turn that thing all the way down to dim. But nevertheless, I have it on as dim as I can, because light will keep me from sleeping. It'll wake me up. That's why I don't sleep much in the summer, because the sun comes up so early that then there's light and I'm wide awake. I'm ready to go. I sleep like a bear in the wintertime because the sun doesn't come up. So I don't know how Peter is sleeping. And again, if this is his last night on earth, don't you think he'd have better things to do than sleep? I think I would. I think I'd be in a spirit of confession, because I know I'm going to meet God in the morning, and just in case there's anything I might have missed, and ask the Holy Spirit and beg Him to show something, anything that I need to make right before I go. Think about that for a minute. If you knew you were going to die at noon today, it's 11:09, if you knew you only had 51 minutes, what would you do? You probably wouldn't be sleeping. And yet here's Peter sleeping so soundly that when the angel comes, I just imagine he kicked him in the side. That's what I see. It says he smote him. That means to hit. But maybe I'm just lazy. I'm not going to bend down and hit him. I'm going to kick him. It's a lot easier. So Peter wakes up. But notice, and this is the title of the message, raising him up saying, here's the message, arise up quickly. Arise up quickly. Peter had a lot of options at that moment that he woke up. Peter could have fallen back to sleep. He could have said, I'm just imagining this and it's not really real. This is just something going on and I don't understand it. We know that later on when he was walking out of the prison on his own 2 feet, following an angel, in his mind he's thinking he's only seeing a vision. He's probably thinking he's still asleep. And God is just showing him something. God had done that with Peter on several occasions that we read of in the Word of God. And so he could have just rolled over and thought, you know, I'm just dreaming. And so it'll go away when I wake up. Too often Christians don't arise up quickly when God is knocking on their door and saying, here's an opportunity, here's an open door that I want you to walk through. It seems impossible, and it's going to take a miracle to get you through that door, but God can do the miraculous. With God, all things are possible. He says, if you'll just rise up quickly and follow me, you'll see great things happen in your life and in your ministry. But there's too many Christians that are just rolling over and saying, oh, that's just my emotions. That's just, I don't know what it is, too much pizza last night. That's just something going on that I don't understand, but it can't be real, and so it'll go away when I wake up. He had that option. He also could have said to the angel, you know, I'm just too tired. Why don't you come back in the morning after I get a good night's rest? But the angel didn't say, take your time and get a little more shut-eye. He didn't say, hit the snooze on your alarm. He said, arise up quickly. The time is now. You see, God doesn't hold doors open perpetually. Those doors that open in your life for ministry and for opportunity, God only has them open a short period of time because God requires that the just live by faith. If you're going to live by faith, you've got to follow the Lord when He calls. And if you're not following when He calls, then you're not living by faith. The kids sing that song, Obedience. One part of it says, do it immediately. You got to do it right away or it's not obedience. And that's the way I raised my children. If they didn't do it right away, they were disobedient. They made a choice not to do what they were told. And so I wasn't the kind of a parent that repeated anything. If I said it once and it wasn't done, they could expect punishment. That's just the way it is. You see, the same thing works with God. God operates on that same principle. If you don't do it right away, it's disobedience. And so if God opens a door for you and says, arise up quickly, and you say, come back after I get a good night's sleep, I'm too tired now. I got too many things going on in my life. I'm too busy. So this isn't a convenient time. Can you come back when it's a little more convenient? God's going to mark that box, disobedient. He's going to close that door. I think a lot of individuals and I think a lot of churches lose opportunities because God closes the door because we don't walk through that door that God opens. Because He calls out to us, arise up quickly. You know, Peter had another option at his disposal. He could have said, you know, I'm content with this. I've lived a full life. Remember what Paul said in 2 Timothy? He said, I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Paul is telling Timothy, look, my job here on earth is done. I'm ready to go home. It's my time. I know it's coming. And I'm good with that. I'm content. Peter could have said the same thing. Peter could have looked up at the angel and said, look, I've had a good run. I've been faithful. I got to preach on Pentecost and 3,000 got saved. I got to preach a few days later and 5,000 got saved. I went down to the house of Cornelius and a multitude got saved and the gospel was given then to the Gentiles. I've had a good run. It's been a wonderful experience, but I'm ready to go home and meet my Savior now face to face. I'm tired of the pains and the labor and the trials that are here in this world. He could have said, I'm content with the way things are going in my life. So don't rock the boat. Don't bother me now. I'm happy where I'm at. But that's not what God said. God said, rise up quickly. He said, even though you may be content, there's still another job I have for you to do. See, a lot of Christians don't go through those doors that God opens up and they miss opportunity. They don't arise up quickly because they say, I'm content where I'm at. I've done a lot for God and I'm doing a lot for God and I'm happy and I'm comfortable that if I were to stand for the judgment seat of Christ today, that I would be able to give a good answer for the things that I've done in this body. And I'm confident I'll hear the well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm content where I'm at. But that's not what God is telling us, is it? God is saying there's an open door, there's another opportunity, there's another responsibility for service. And so he's calling us and he's taking us by the shoulders and shaking us saying, arise up quickly. There's more to do. I still have a ministry that needs being done, whether it be encouraging another individual or sharing the gospel with one that they might be able to have a home in heaven. Who knows what that ministry might be? Another Sunday school class to teach or another family to reach for Christ. Who knows what it might be? But God is knocking on your door and saying, wake up. Arise up quickly. Go through that door. Don't be content where you're at. There's so much more you can do for Christ. See, Peter had options. I'm glad he didn't choose any of those options, aren't you? Because he had one further option. Not simply to get up. And that's the option he chose. Now, it sounds like an easy option, doesn't it? But may I remind you, four quaternions of soldiers. Where were those four soldiers? There were two outside the door. They weren't a problem at that moment, were they? They would be, but not at that moment. They would have nothing to do with him arising up quickly. Those other two, now they were a problem, weren't they? Where were they located? Strapped to each arm. What do you suppose those big fellows were doing? I can't imagine a soldier being a small little fella. I picture a big, burly soldier. Those guys were sawing logs. He wasn't going anywhere. They didn't have any concern. Why lose a good night's sleep? If you can get a good night's sleep in prison, I can't imagine. They're on a soft bed. But nevertheless, he's chained. How in the world is he going to get up? God didn't give him any more instruction than that. He just said, arise up quickly. Now, in Peter's mind, he may have been thinking, this is impossible. There's no way I can lift myself and those two fellows with me. Their arms aren't long enough for me to stand up on my own. How am I going to do this? He didn't go through that scenario and try to figure it all out. He just stood up. He just acted in faith. And you know what happened when he stood up? Those chains fell off. You see, God already had it all planned. But those chains, I don't believe, fell off until Peter stood up. And when he began to walk by faith, those chains began to fall. And God began to work things out. And that door began to swing a little bit wider because when that angel came down into his prison cell, instead of rise up quickly, that door was only open a crack. But as he stood up and was obedient and those chains fell off, that door opened up just a little bit further, didn't it? And he began to think, you know, it's just a little bit more reasonable to think that I'll actually be able to get out of here. Even if this is not for real, even if this is only a vision, it's a little bit more plausible now, a little bit more believable. But you know, if he didn't get up, if he would have said, you know, angel, I'd love to get up right now, but have you noticed what's around my wrists and where they're attached? It's probably not going to happen unless you begin to do. No, he just simply got up and God worked and honored his obedience. I like what follows. I like all of this. This is one of my favorite Bible stories. I should say Bible history. It's not fiction, it's history. It goes on to say that the angel said unto him, gird thyself. and bind on thy sandals. You know what God is saying through this angel? You see, the angel's only doing what God's told him to do. God is saying, Peter, I care. I love you. That's what God is saying. Because what's going on here is Peter's in his jammies. Now think about a cold night, cold, damp night. Are you going to want to go out in your jammies? If you live where nobody's around, I mean, obviously the modesty's an issue, but would you want to go outside in the cold? I sure wouldn't. I'd want to grab a coat. Well, he's not even telling him to grab the coat yet. That comes in just a little bit. He's just telling him to get dressed. And he says, put your shoes on. Now, the roads weren't smooth and gravel-less. They didn't have street cleaners back then, I don't imagine. God's taking care of all the little details. You see that in there? God's saying, Peter, I got a door open for you. I've got something I need you to do. It's not going to be easy, and it seems impossible. But if you'll just begin to move by faith, I'll take care of every little minute detail in your life in such a way that you'll experience my love and my care for you. All you've got to do is arise up quickly and then do what you're told from there. It goes on to say, I'm assuming there's a pause between sandals and then the word and. Well, and so he did. And so the time has taken place for him to get his shoes and his sandals. You see, God's patient. But then what comes next? Then it's throw on your coat and follow me. Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. So there's the coat. It's going to be cold. And just follow. You notice how God's not telling him everything at once? He's not shining that great big spotlight on the exit to the prison, and you see the sign that says exit here. That's not what's going on. God says, first things first. You do this, and I'll give you your next set of instructions. Step by step by step. Not journey by journey. And I think a lot of the reasons, or one of the reasons why a lot of Christians fail to go through the opportunities God presents them, to go through those open doors, why we don't arise up quickly is before we arise up, we need to see the whole thing out in vivid detail. We need to know the end from the beginning, but God doesn't operate that way because He wants us to operate by faith. He wants to use you. He wants to do something great with your life. But He says you've got to arise up quickly without any more detail than that. And when you arise up quickly, I'll give you the next set of instruction that you need. And if you'll follow that instruction, then I'll give you the next step. And you take that step and I'll give you the next step. And so it goes in the Christian life. But so many of us won't go past go simply because we don't have the finish line directions. God's given them just detail by detail as He needs it. We have to understand that that's most often the way God works. And so we just begin to follow. Now again, I can just use a personal example here. When God was calling me up to Michigan, you know the biggest obstacle that I saw, humanly speaking, was housing. It's frustrating. We were up there at the end of this week and we looked at 5 different houses. We're going to have to pay twice as much as what our house can possibly sell for to get a house half the size of what we have, and a yard, most likely 1/6 of the yard we have right now. And I'm wondering, how in the world is God going to work all this out? He's already taken care of it. And I never lost any sleep. But at first I had to arise up quickly, one step at a time. And God will do the same thing with you. If you'll follow Him, if you'll arise up quickly and do what He says from there, and then from there, and then from there. It's kind of like a dot to dot, or connect the dots. You ever do those when you're a kid? Probably all of us did. You see that whole configuration of dots and you scratch your head. I don't know if you're like me. I always tried to figure out what it was before I started connecting the dots. Sometimes you could, most of the time you couldn't. But one dot to the next, and when you're all done, you look back and say, wow, that's really cool. God's the same way. Doing God's will in your life is exactly like connecting the dots. Because when it's all done, you look back and you say, wow, that's really cool. And so we see God's love, God's concern for Peter all along the way. He gets up, follows him, and wist not, in verse number 9, that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. But Peter really didn't understand what was happening until the angel left him. He came to his senses and decided it'd be a good idea to go check out or check in with the church. We see that in verse number 12. When he had considered this, the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. So here's your all-night prayer meeting. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. Poor lady. Forever in history is known as the one who didn't believe that God answered prayer. The only one by name. You got a whole church full of people here, and she's the only one named by name. And so can you imagine walking through heaven, and you're bumping into her, and you say, oh, you're the one who didn't believe that was really Peter. And maybe right beside her were two other people that were there, and they don't get called out. Poor woman. They were all in the same basket case of not believing God was answering their prayer. But Rhoda comes to the door, and she knew Peter's voice in verse 14, but she opened not. She was so happy, got so excited, she didn't open the door. But she turned around and told everybody Peter was there. And in verse 15, they say, you're crazy. Now they said it, thou art mad. I would have said, you're crazy. But she constantly affirmed. In other words, she insisted. They said, ah, you're just seeing his angel. But Peter kept knocking, and they finally realized it, and they were astonished. We finally found out why Peter was released, because the church was praying. We talked about that to start. Do you believe God will still work today? See, the Bible tells us the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change. You know, the God that did this for Peter in answer to prayer is the same God who just simply spoke and there was light, and spoke again and there was firmament, and spoke again and there was dry land, and spoke again and the air was full of birds and the sea full of creatures and the land full of vegetation. You see, he is omnipotent, still, omniscient, still, and he has something for you. The question is, will you, in faith, arise up quickly? Father, we thank you for your word. May your Holy Spirit take it now, this one simple message from your word, and use it in our lives. Father, may we have a willing heart like Isaiah to be able to say, here am I, Lord, send me. And then follow through each set of instructions, step by step, as you so often do. And just help us to be faithful with each step, knowing that you'll show your love and care and concern all along the way with each step. Well, thank you for what you do in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.